Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Studio, and this is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Hey, everybody, thanks for joining us, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to everybody. Also to you, Bob Flounders, and to you, Ross Tucker.
Joyous right back at you, Jason.
What's that?
Right back at you, Andy.
There you go. We've got a full hour of Penn State football talk for you before we talk about the holidays. We got 60 minutes of it coming up. He's Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. And that's Ross Tucker. I'm Andy Shea. We got a full show for you, so let's get rolling. We're going to kick off with our news and notes, followed by Tucker's tape. We're going to do position reviews of the 2019 in quarter number two for a while. We're going to the quarterback position this week. That's brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Quarter three, we take your questions, and then he answers them. It's Ask Ross, brought to you by 409TailgateClub.com. And in quarter four, we're going to have a little recruiting 2020 class, a little roundtable talk. We'll just bat some things out. Got a little sneak preview from Ross. So let's get up to news and notes, gents. Are you guys ready?
Ready.
All right. Let's start. National early signing day was, on Wednesday. Penn State saw all 27 members of its 2020 class put a signature on the dotted line. We'll talk more about this in quarter number four. I just wanted to put it out there. The expectation, I think, is there could be a couple more leading into the next February signing period, the second signing period. More than a third of this class, this is my low nugget, 11 of the 27 are slated to enroll early. So, again, another large early enrollment group from Penn State.
And can I just say one thing? If the early signing day is now in 2019 and half the guys, it seems like, are enrolling early, is it really the class of 2020 or is it the class of 2019 and a half, or is it the class of almost 2020? It's just funny because signing day always used to be in that year and they didn't enroll until the summer, but now everything's gotten so sped up that it's class of 2020, but these guys are at Penn State by 2020.
You know, the losing byproduct of all of this is any and all high school football all-star games.
Yes.
They've just been gutted. They all are gutted by the recruiting process now and how the timetables move forward.
Well, and not only that, I found out recently, unfortunately, I will not be calling the Army All-American Bowl this year, which is a bummer, but it's totally changed that game.
Yeah.
There are still some kids that wait to that game to announce, but most of them actually tell the schools where they're going and sign it that day. It's just a silent signing. It's gotten those all-star games even into a weird kind of purgatory place. I would also say, and I've said this before, totally understand and respect the guys that go enroll early. I think there's tremendous benefits to that for their career. And I'm sure there's nothing wrong with another semester of college academics and college life, but I wouldn't trade second semester of senior year of high school for me for anything.
Right.
And I just think in general, it's like we're speeding everything up so much, but that's where we're at.
And James talked about that yesterday. He said he's actually not in favor of kids coming in early. He's more in favor of the kids getting on campus like in the summer, that month earlier.
In May.
Yeah, in May. He's more in favor of that. He claims for exactly that reason for what Ross just talked about, enjoying the high school experience. But I'm sure he didn't really mind it when Micah Parsons came in
early
in January 2018, or some of those others came in. I mean, I think he basically is saying it's up to the kid and the family, but I think he is on the side of Ross, at least publicly.
Let's talk about the national rankings real quick for the 2020 class, or 2019 and a half, as you put it, Ross. Clemson and Alabama are 1 and 2. In the Big Ten, Ohio State's first. They finished third nationally. Michigan is second. They finished 12th. Right behind them is Penn State, around 13th. Fourth was Nebraska. There you go, Bob. A little better job
out
there.
They got a lot of catching up to do, man.
They got a lot of catching up to do. And fifth was Wisconsin. They came in at 26th nationally. Rutgers is dead last in the Big Ten. Michigan State struck me also as finishing down at 11th in the Big Ten with 19 3-stars. So they're on the field and off the field problems is showing up in their recruiting class. But I do have a nugget. Ohio State has more top 100 players in its 2020 class than all of the rest of the Big Ten combined.
I mean,
there you go.
It's not that surprising.
There you, no, so, it's not. Yeah. But just they and then the other 13 schools.
How good? I guess Clemson's not really going anywhere either. They just get the number one class in the country.
Well, you know, Jim and I were talking about this before the show. You remember Clemson when they first started landing on this big stage? They weren't recruiting like this. They were in that 7, 9, 10, 12, but they took to that level. Now they just flock there because who wouldn't want to play for Dabo Swinney?
Well, and I think in particular, who wouldn't want to go to Clemson from what I've heard and what it's like down there and how awesome it is. It's impressive. And if you look at Penn State, you know, I'm looking at the 24/7 composite right now. The top two players in the country both reside less than 2 hours from State College, Pennsylvania.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Brian Bressy. And Julian Fleming. And, you know, those kids could have gone anywhere they wanted. And it's hard to get them to pick your school when they can go anywhere they want. But Penn State has to get those kids.
That's the next level for them.
Those are difference-making players. Those are your Justin Fields and your Chase Young type of players. Those are your top five players like that. Penn State has to get those guys. And I think what they have to do, they got to get to the college football playoff. Mm-hmm. I think it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg thing.
I agree.
But I think next year, Penn State has to get to the college football playoff. They have got to break through because playing in the Cotton Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl, it's not going to be enticing enough for the top, the best of the best. They want to play in that college football playoff. And right now, in your mind, you think Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State are, and I guess Oklahoma, are your best chance to play in the college football playoff.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. All right, we're moving on with quarter number one. News and notes, Bob Flounders, Russ Tucker and Andy Shea. I've got some more non-recruiting stuff for us, so we're going to chat about. I think there was a little news made by Sean Clifford. He appeared on the simulcast during the National Signing Day, and he gave an interview with, you know, the Penn State insider guy that was there doing it during the live stream, and he said, "This is my first bowl game I get to play in," quote unquote. There obviously had to be some questions about the injury he had, whether or not it was, you know, would it keep him out of the bowl? That was very likely based on, you know, the very limited information you might know or receive. But I think him saying it's a bowl he gets to play in at least means that he is trending in a direction towards playing.
Yeah, the question is how close to 100% is he?
Right.
Just remember, James Franklin said he could have re-entered the Ohio State game. They could have made a decision to get him ready for the Rutgers game. They decided not to play him, and they treated him, whatever the injury was, a little bit differently, maybe as a long-term injury in terms of a, and I think it was the right decision, obviously. I really hope he is. I would really like to see the Sean Clifford that was on the field, you know, in October,
right,
and in September, you know, the Sean Clifford that played against Michigan at home in the whiteout game, had the big game, led some of the drives in the fourth quarter against a very good Iowa defense. Really like to see that Sean Clifford. I'm not sure where he's at. I know he's itching to play after not really playing almost since the first half of the Ohio State game.
Yeah, he gets a little pumped
up to play. It sounds like it's one of those injuries that the more rest you give him, the closer he's going to be to 100%. The question is, he really hasn't played, I guess, since the beginning of, since, you know, November 24th, the day after the Ohio State game. Is you know, 5 weeks enough?
5 weeks enough.
Is it enough for him to be close to the Clifford we saw in October?
Well, at least he's trending, and that's some news. We'll talk more about Sean Clifford and the quarterbacks in quarter number two coming up.
Good tease, Andy. State.
Thank you.
Not your first rodeo.
Not my first rodeo. Micah Parsons has joined the Penn State All-American Wall. The last two All-Americans at Penn State were Saquon Barkley and Carl Nassib.
Mm-hmm.
He was named to the AP All-American first team. He's the first All-American since Saquon in 2017 and the first sophomore at Penn State to win the honor since 1998.
LeVar.
Well done.
Same number, same position, same a lot.
You know, you could make a case that, you know, Jack Ham, one of the all-time great Penn State linebackers.
For sure.
But on the Mount Rushmore of most athletic Penn State linebackers, I think you could say you got three 11s. You got Navarro Bowman, you got Micah, and you got most athletic, freakish athletes on
right,
the field.
Right, freak athletes.
I would put those three in the discussion. I think everyone forgets about Navarro, but that's three pretty good number 11s.
Yeah, you don't want to forget about Navarro.
I would also just say, I think in general, guys like Sean Lee, Paul Posluszny, Shane Conlin,
yes,
were much better athletes than people realized. Right. Those guys could run. They were high school safeties. Mm-hmm. They were fast. I mean, I watched Sean Lee in the NFL still,
yeah,
and he's still producing when he's healthy at a really high level.
Yeah,
I think people don't realize they weren't the quite the freaks that LeVar and Mike. And I think even those three, Bob, LeVar is in a category by himself. I don't think Micah Parsons right. could touch LeVar in right. terms of speed. I mean, LeVar ran like a 4.3 40.
Right. All right. No news on the offensive coordinator front. That's kind of news. Any idea how they're going to coordinate this in the Cotton Bowl?
I think we'll find out very soon. If I had to guess, there's a couple of guys in-house that could probably call the plays.
Right.
I don't know if the smart money is on Tyler Bowen, but I think it might be trending in that direction. I could be wrong. And honestly, with signing day just concluded, I think it was going to be hard for James to name his offensive coordinator till after. So I think the timetable is right where it should be. I think he's probably got his ducks in a row. You know, I know Penn State fans want some guys for the job, but I'll be real curious. I think James seems like a pretty confident guy. I think he's going to get the guy he wants.
Last one before we get out. Former Penn State wide receiver Chris Godwin was named to his first Pro Bowl. I just want to put that out there from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Would you be putting that out there if he wasn't a Tampa Bay Buccaneer?
Probably not.
He had an unbelievable year. We talked about I did not know that he would end up being this good of a pro.
I did. I saw it all along. All right, that'll do it for quarter number one from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around. Tucker's Tape is next.
With the college bowl games and pro football playoffs approaching, what better way to celebrate than treating your guests to the best in barbecue with the rubs and sauces from 409tailgateclub.com. They also have great gift boxes. And don't forget the famous 409 Tailgate Club Bloody Mary Mix. To top it off, if you go to 409tailgateclub.com, use code KSN for a special discount just for Keystone Kickoff listeners. That's 409tailgateclub.com, and remember to use code KSN.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football, flannel, beards, tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.